everyone, welcome to an all-new episode of the Loud Casa Talks. My name is Nate, and alongside is my good buddy, Omid.
Hey, what's up, Loud Crowd, Casa Crew? How y'all doing? I just gotta tell you, man, this episode, I am definitely looking forward to. I am just super pumped for this. Like, of course, always talk about Loud Casa Talks.
First off, we're actually
every episode is a good thing, you know. I'm always excited to talk Loud Casa Talks. But this episode especially is going to be something special to me for obvious reasons.
So it's been since yesterday, actually, since we actually hanged out. So how was today, technically?
Today has been a chill day. Pretty much just exercising.
Okay. How's the gyms? Are they looking good? Like, safe at all?
Yeah, they're looking really good. They're looking really promising.
Okay, that's good to hear, because I'm thinking about actually going back to the gym, making sure that I'm okay before heading back to the gym at all. But yeah, yesterday we actually did hang out. We went to round one, Dave & Buster's, for the first time, and actually went back to the arcades. It's an experience that we have never seen since 2 years ago. And I'm glad to be back in the arcades, actually like having fun, winning plushies and figures. So the experience is so much different compared to like what we did last week, where we actually went to San Jose's round one, and it was not that packed, because obviously there were things that were closed over there.
Yeah, the arcade was closed over at the round one San Jose we went to. That arcade section was a total graveyard. Like, it was something that Lucy Loud would be very much interested in.
Well,
in Concord, on the other hand, like, it was so lively and all the arcades were open. It was just like a better round one experience.
The thing is that things are going back to normal, and I'm glad that we're actually going back to normal, because now we can have more fun hanging out and things like that again. So, I mean, like, it's going to open up in June here in California, which means that, you know, no social distancing, the masks are going to come off, which means the freedom technically is coming back. So, but the thing is that, though, I'm still thinking about my safety as well. So I just want to make sure that I'll be okay. And that Omid's okay too. Make sure everybody's okay when we actually start lifting everything up on June.
Yeah. And always, you know, like I said before, as we said before, you know, if you haven't gotten vaccinated yet, please, I highly urge you to do so. It's safe. It's quick. It's easy. And you may feel some side effects, but let me tell you, it's all the worth it when you get vaccinated.
For sure. All right. Now, without small talk, let's actually head over to our recent news. And let's actually talk about what's going to be happening on Memorial Day weekend. We've had a commercial that dropped on Friday that talked about what is coming Memorial Day weekend, which is actually, we actually thought camp was the only thing that's going to be coming out that weekend, but also Zoomergency is also going to be coming out. So you got to actually see both Zoomergency and camp airing on Memorial Day. And that's actually going to be airing all day. So that means you're going to have like a lot of chances for you to actually watch both specials. So first off, absolutely excited for it. Since we discussed the episode last week, we actually have a commercial that we saw also. So let's actually go further into our thoughts about these two specials. First off, with camp. So, Omid, after seeing the commercial, how are you thinking this special will play out? And what are you most excited for in the special?
I think it's going to play into the, you know, typical camping episode tropes where, of course, you've got them staying in a cabin in the woods. You've got them roasting marshmallows by the campfire. You know, our C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song.
Okay, it's not SpongeBob, by the way.
And also, and of course, you know, it wouldn't be a camping episode without some scary, spooky stories.
Oh, I think Lucy would love that.
Lucy will definitely win on this one. yeah, honestly, overall, I'm just looking forward to another big family trip episode, because I know that there was another one that came out like a year before or 2 years prior, Road Tripped. And I feel that this is going to be sort of like Road Tripped, but instead of taking place in Vanzilla, what it's going to take place, you know, in the wilderness, in camp.
Yeah. The way I see it is that there's not really a lot of commercials that have been, there's not really a lot of like sneak peeks that I've seen in that commercial. It's more of you get to see the whole family all together. They're going to camp. Looks like they went to a cave and they're about to get attacked by a bear or something like that. There's a lot of struggles, but I know that they're actually going to, you know, obviously find treasure, which is, you know, the big quest that happens in this 30-minute special. So I can't wait to see all the expectations, the challenges that's going to happen with the family. The other thing, too, that I'm also excited about is Lori's back, and I'm really happy that she is back. We have not seen her in forever, but it looks like she's taking some time off of college, maybe went back in the summer, and they're hanging out in a camp setting like this. So obviously, huge Lori fan here. I'm excited to see her back. No special where she's pretty much ghosted. This time around, she's actually with the family, and it seems that I'm excited. Hopefully that we get to see a lot of emphasis about Lori.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, it's literally good to have her back again, you know?
I know, I mean, the last special was terrible, but the thing is, like, now I just hope that we get more emphasis on her. We get a lot of emphasis from the other Loud Sisters, but hopefully some things with Lori, hopefully she gets some like screen time instead of just like a little appearance, like what happened in Friday Night Fights, for example.
Yeah, honestly, the last time that she had like a legit appearance in an episode wasn't even really Loud House. It was a Casa Grande special called Cursed. And even with that, I feel like she wasn't at her best there either, mainly because, you know, what the flip? Why would you just hand Bobby like over like a coffin for him to sleep? Hello, Lori. Bobby is literally your boyfriend. Why don't you just have him sleep in your room right next to you on the same bed? Hello.
Exactly. But you know what? That special was different. So the thing is that this time around, hopefully we can see some good expectations from this special. Either way, Curse itself was also a good episode. Let's just, you know, leave that aside here. But since we're talking about Casa Grande specials, let's actually talk about the second special that's also coming out of Memorial Day, Zoomergency. We already know it's a sync-focused episode, but after seeing the commercial, you have a lot of good feelings about this episode. Amin, explain your thoughts about what you think about Zoomergency now after you saw the commercial.
Well, now that I've seen Zoomergency and I've seen how Sid is going to be in the episode, let me tell you, Let me tell you, this episode is going to be wild, if you know what I mean.
I mean, it's wild because it's all at the zoo and all.
Yes. Like, honestly, we have been, like I said before, we have been waiting for a Sid Chang-focused episode for many months. And lo and behold, here it is. Like I said before, this is actually a good sign because it really shows how the Casa Grande staff have been listening to us. They've been answering our prayers, you know. And also, on a side note, I loved Ronnie Anne and Sid's dresses. Like, they look really good.
Oh, you mean these dresses? Yeah. They're beautiful. They look really great. Yes. Well, the other thing, too, is that I think what they're trying to do here in this setting is that they're doing, like, a fancy gala where, like, Ronnie Anne and Sid are trying to, like, raise money or something. That's the reason why, like, Carl's doing a DJ work and, like, they're doing some sort of dinner out in the Casa Grande Mercado. But, by the way, it's like, if it's a fundraiser, it's got to be looking fancy. So it makes sense why Sid and Ronnie Anne are looking like, you know, fancy girls and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're in dresses. They absolutely look cute. So, you know, that's the reason why a lot of people are drawing them right now.
DJ Taco Tron is back. DJ Taco Tron.
I know, exactly. But my thoughts is that I understand, like, Sid is trying to help with the zoo. So obviously the focus is going to be on Sid and the family. So I would imagine more of the Changs having more light, which means like more Adelaide, more Stanley, more Becca. And, you know, obviously Ronnie Anne also going to help out because, you know, Ronnie Anne's her BFF. So I just hope that, you know, there's a lot more support for Ronnie, for Sid, because obviously the focus is going to be on Sid, but Ronnie Anne's also going to be supportive as well. And then this whole thing where we see a dinner makes it feel like this dinner is going to be like the make or break for the zoo. And from the way it looks from the commercial, it feels like it might break it. And it means like, uh-oh, Sid might lose the zoo and your mom might lose a job. But maybe something happens at the end where like somebody gives up like big money and then that zoo continues to live on. That's my thoughts, by the way, on how the episode might run.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. Like, usually with these Casa Grandes and Loud House episodes, usually it always ends with some sort of deus ex machina. So, of course, things are going to go well in the end, you know? Like, of course, you know, all the problems are going to be solved at the end. But I'm saying that what I'm looking forward to seeing is how they execute it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm really excited for both. I'm actually more excited to actually see Zoomergency. So, I'm getting my hopes up for that one because obviously it's a Sins focused episode. But the other thing too is that this looks like a really good Casa Grande special that I can't wait for. The Loud House one I'm also looking forward to, but not as much as the Zoomergency one. I feel like that was going to be the one that actually will work in Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, honestly, I feel the same way. Honestly, I think Zoomergency is the one that I'm the most hyped for of the two because I feel that it has potential to be stronger. Well, because, you know, we have a Sid-centric episode after we have been asking for a Sid-centric episode for months. You know, we've been saying, please make a Sid episode. Please make a Sid episode. Uh-huh. Because it's like, you know, how do you get, you know, an Adelaide episode, a freaking Laird episode of all things, right before you get Sid? Like, it doesn't really compute. It doesn't add up. And yeah. also the fact that as much as I'm looking forward to Camped, I really hope that it doesn't fall to the trap of being road tripped 2.0, but just
in please. Let's just hope not. Well, anyways, both specials, Camp and Zoomergency, will be airing on Memorial Day. We've already saw the commercial, so I would imagine this week we're gonna see some sneak peeks or something that'll pop up, probably GIFs or something that Nickelodeon is gonna, you know, rile up in order for us to, you know, get ourselves psyched up for these two specials. But yeah, Memorial Day is gonna be quite exciting to actually, but the Loud House and the Casa Grandes. But besides that, that's pretty much it for our recent news. So let's actually head over to our main subject today, which is Luna's path to music stardom. So let's start it up. The third oldest sibling, and quite frankly, the most passionate Loud next to her roommate, Luna Loud, looks like she has one thing that she is looking forward to, a music career. We've seen her rock out many times in many places, from a family fun fair to a high school talent show, and even in a cafe. To say the least, Luna is going to be all about music, but there are many chances for her to actually make it big, like make it up to stardom. She could have had a chance to become a star in a singing competition, or even would have gone solo and became a lead singer in another band. But she denied them for pretty obvious reasons that we're going to be discussing tonight. So let's actually start it off here with our initial thoughts. First off, you know, you first saw Luna Loud. She was in, what was it? She was in, she was in the first episode of Loud House. Forgot that name. let's start it over again. So she appeared in the first episode of The Loud House. She looked like she was a passionate rock star. She, you know, loves her guitar. She loves to have shows, things like that. Omid, how was your first impressions of Luna Loud?
You know, I got to be honest here. Like, when I first saw Luna Loud, I really liked her a lot. Now, this was during a time when I first got started into the show, so I didn't quite have a number one favorite character back then, because to me, each and every Loud really stood out to me in terms of their, you know, completely different personalities, the wide variety of sisters that Lincoln has, and just the amount of heart that, you know, the show offers, especially when it's, you know, love towards, you know, 11 siblings. Like, it was just something that, you know, when I was watching this episode, like, Luna was one of the characters that really grabbed my interest. However, when it came to favorite characters during the time, it was between Luna, Lana, Luann, and Lucy. So it was sort of, you know, it was sort of a four-way tie in a sense. But then there's this one episode that changed everything for me. The one episode that, you know, really did cement, that really made me choose who my number one favorite Loud is. And we're going to touch upon that right now.
Later on, actually. But anyways. Later on. Yeah, but anyways, my first impression for Luna was that, yeah, I understand, like, she's a very passionate rock star. And the thing is that's her trope. like she's, you know, rocking up in garb. She's pretty much like Rockstar, like, you know, has a, you know, she has a skeleton tank top and of course her dress and things like that. So it kind of makes you think that she's a punk star, punk rock star. So it makes sense why throughout all of season one, you get to see her pretty much just rock out, you know, with her guitar, with her drums, with anything. She's pretty much an absolutely passionate character to music. The thing is that what makes me like her a lot is just the fact that she's so passionate for it and that music is going to be her thing. And throughout all of the Loud House, you can totally see that Luna loves to actually play music, like through when anything. So yeah, my first impression was like, you really love rocking out, and I absolutely love you for that. So not my favorite though, because my favorite was still Luann. I mean, like the comedy one is absolutely the one that always hooks me up. But you know, Luna still grows with me. I mean, like, you know, she's in the Loud House, she's into music, she's into things like that, and I'm like, yeah, you know what, I'll take it. And the thing is, like, you never lose a character and things like that. She's always going to be loving music, and that's her trope, and they never break it. And that's what makes Luna Loud. And that's awesome to see that she never broke character and she always continues to love music. And, you know, there's always been people who love music like Luna Loud. I never seen Luna Loud be so passionate about music like that, but, you know, let her be. And she's awesome like that.
Always awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, like, she was one of the more interesting ones because of all the reasons you just stated, that, you know, like, she's very passionate. She's very passionate about her music. She's very passionate about her guitar playing. Like, she's really passionate about rocking.
Yep.
Like, you know, she puts the loud in Loud House. Like, literally puts the loud in Loud House.
Oh yeah, most definitely. So let's actually start off with like how Luna is. So we'll start it off from season one and talk about her passionate about music. So in season one, you get to see her just go around music, either listening to it on the radio or playing all kinds of instruments besides her guitar. I mean, she plays like that one bongo from Lake or Swim. She plays drums during what was it? That one spider episode. So to say the least, she loves music, like besides the fact that she plays her guitar. How did you like that Luna was very passionate about music from the very first episodes of the show?
I really loved how passionate she is about what she loves, and that is music, of course. Whether it be guitar, drums, bongos, electric piano, keyboard, or even bass, she knows her way around playing music no matter what instrument. And it's very rare for music artists, even the most famous ones, like in general, because usually they only resort to playing one or two instruments. But with Luna, her flexibility on the instruments that she plays is on a whole new level. Like, the variety is so wide. And that's what makes me admire her passion and dedication to what she loves.
But my thing about Luna Loud is that, you know, she continues to love music. And, you know, yet she always plays it all over the Loud House. A lot of people might say it might be annoying, but the thing is that it's just her passion. And no doubt about it, you can just see her play any kind of instrument, from bongos to a guitar to a harp to everything pretty much. So to say the least, that trope that she has as a being a person who loves music, it's pretty much there. And you can see it all over season one. Like, she may not have her own focus episode, but at the background, you can totally see her just play an instrument. So it just tells you, like, man, I believe her future is going to be about music. And you obviously know that it's going to be about music, knowing that you're continuing on with season 2, 3, 4, and 5, and you see her just continuing to play music and looking at it to be a career and all.
Definitely. So, I agree, man.
So what's very impactful about season one is that there's one episode that Omid is probably going to be talking about now.
Yes.
That she, the origins of how Luna really loves music. And that would be from Bros About to Rock. It really mentions here how she heard about this McSwagger concert, and it's from there that she, you know, put music as her destiny, to say. Omid, how did you like this origin story for Luna Loud and her love for music?
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now. The episode that we are discussing right now, which is For Bros About to Rock, is my favorite season one episode. Not only that, but it is also up there in my top 5 favorite Loud House episodes of all time. It's that amazing to me. This episode holds such a special place in my heart, and it has ever since I first saw it back in 2016. I adored it so much. And the main reason being is this, is because it has a particular backstory in general that really changed the game for the Loud House and how they write the Loud Sisters. Because keep in mind, this is a season one episode, and this was during a time when the Loud Sisters haven't exactly been fleshed out just yet. Since this was a season one, of course, you know, 90% of the season is heavily focused on, you know, Lincoln trying to get what he wants, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is the first we have seen that actually gives great insight and great depth to a Loud Sister. Not Lincoln himself, but Lincoln's sister. Of course, we have seen her passion for music before, and we have thoroughly enjoyed it each time she presents her, you know, wild rock star side. But we finally get to see why she got into rock music in the first place. What transformed her to become a rock star? And it's because of Mick Swagger. Through his lyrics of his song called Transformation, it's what caused Luna to have, well, transformation. Ever since then, she became my favorite character. Because of how this is the first episode that gives extra development to a Loud Sister. It was a huge stepping stone for writing Loud Sisters as actual characters instead of giving them just an ensemble role or having them be a plot device for a Lincoln episode. Like, that was something that I think made this episode really stand out to me in terms of season one episodes, because like it was definitely the most distinct. It was the most unique one in my opinion. Well, one of the most unique ones in my opinion in terms of how they handle the characters. And even aside from the backstory, Luna Loud herself is just so lovable in this episode, because you could tell that while she does go a bit too crazy, like, her intentions, like, are just so heartwarming, because you could tell that, you know, she wants to share her passion of going to a music concert. She wants to have shared her passion for music with her siblings. But the thing is that the Loud siblings don't exactly see eye to eye with Luna. They don't exactly understand her passion. And at first, Lincoln feels the same way too. Like, he doesn't quite understand why Luna, you know, shows her music, you know, passion way too much like she does. Mm-hmm. But then, like, at the end of the day, like, Lincoln does learn that, you know, like, the Loud Sisters have been overreacting about her after all. She's just, you know, a good, well-intentioned sister who does care about music so much that she wants to share it, you know, with her loved ones. And that includes Lincoln. And that is why Luna and Lincoln have such an awesome time at the end. Like, they jam out to Smooch as Big Sis and Little Bro. And, you know, it's what really, you know, elevates Luna and Lincoln to bond and have such a great, unforgettable concert night. Rock and roll!
Yeah, I would say so too. But the thing is that, you know, throughout this whole show, throughout the whole Loud House, you never get to expect a backstory like what Luna did. And I think Luna's backstory really did hit compared to like the other sisters that had backstories. Because this one actually makes sense why Luna just continued to become like a really inspired, why she loves to really love music. And a story like this makes sense why, you know, she just went to a Mick Swagger concert, and then she got so inspired that even like she loves Mick Swagger, and you totally see her like muse about her, like think about her, like imagine like thinking about him is pretty much his idol to say. So I can totally see Luna just continue to rock on and things like that. And just this backstory was the first out of like every other sister. So to say the least, this was very impactful. Because it just makes sense why Luna just loves music. And this origin story, I think, was really touching. Just the fact that, like, yeah, Luna continues to, like, ruin the sister's experience of watching a concert or something. Mm. The thing is that that's Luna. Like, she loves to rock and roll. She loves to have a fun time. It may be a bad show or something, but she continues to rock on and stuff like that. That's her passion. So seeing things like this and her origin story of like how she became a, you know, a little girl that loves music and became a huge fan of Mick Swagger, how he got into like rock and roll. It just makes sense why have a story like this. It just makes sense for her to actually have an origin story like this. I'm just absolutely happy that Luna gets an origin story like this compared to like the other Loud sisters. And I just wish the other Loud sisters actually have something like this, because Luna makes, because just the fact that we get to see Luna just rock out like this just makes me think like, man, she really does love it. And I believe that that her future is really going to be all about music, and it's definitely going that way right now.
Yeah, honestly, like ever since this episode, I'm not going to lie, I've actually been waiting 4 or 5 seasons to have the Loud sisters have their own origin stories of why they got into the things that they did.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Example, like, we never really like, got
them. We should have an episode where Lori actually, you know, gets her first cell phone and starts going crazy all about it.
Or have Luann, like have Luann. We need an origin story of why Luann got into a comedy and into pranks. And we also need an origin story.
We did technically from that one episode, Head Poets Anxiety.
Well, Head Poets Anxiety, yes, but it only showed her telling jokes to the pets. But we never saw like what drove her to become a comedian in the first place.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good...
We never, you know what I mean? Like, what,
yeah.
What
so something like Luna's story, but switch it around with Luann and a comedian or something.
Exactly. We never saw the transformation into the comedian.
Yeah, hopefully we get some sort of backstory like what Luna had, because this story itself was absolutely amazing. And obviously the episode turned out to be the best season one episode for The Loud House, both based on what you guys voted for, by the way. All right. But here's the other thing. Here's the other bad part about Luna, though. She could be sort of a diva. In season one, we actually did see that. In House Music, we get to see that kind of side of Luna. Omid, you know you're a huge fan of Luna. Do you think it was necessary to see this from her?
Okay, now, of course, just because Luna is my favorite character in the show doesn't mean I'm going to defend every single action she commits, okay? I'm going to look at this from a non-biased perspective, okay? So I'm just saying, like, so if you're CB criticizing Luna's character, don't think I'm bad mouthing her, dissing her. Like, these are just my thoughts and why I think that she was in the wrong. Now, all I gotta say is that when I saw the bad side of Luna in this episode, I was thinking to myself, way harsh, dude. I mean, it was just a talent show at the family fun fair. It wasn't
she was trying to impress Mick Swagger.
Like, here's the thing. It wasn't like, either way, like even if it was Mick Swagger or not, the thing is, it's just them having fun. And, you know, since she's a huge Mick Swagger fan, I felt that, like, she should have known better. I think that she should have known, you know, okay, I know Mick Swagger well to know that, you know, he's humble enough to see that, you know, he would appreciate this because, you know, it's family after all. I mean, let's get real. It wasn't like it was America's Next Hitmaker of all things. Oh, right. sorry. We're going to touch upon that contest later, okay? So just, you know, stick around for that. But the thing is, it was just a small fair. That's it. And it was just, you know, it was just Mick Swagger going to see it and... You never know whether or not he's really going to like it, you know? So to see her take it way too seriously, up to a point where she goes all J.K. Simmons from Whiplash on them, totally rubbed me off the wrong way. Like, totally rubbed me off the wrong way. But fortunately, though, she does get a lesson learned from a certain old man in a diner, which is, of course, none other than... Mick Swagger himself.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yes. Yes. And after some realization, Luna comes to the conclusion that she was wrong and that she goes back to make it up to the family, and they start playing the way they should be playing, the way they've always planned to, which is having fun at the family fun fair. And wouldn't you know it, my suspicions my expectations were correct, is that Mick Swagger at the end of the day really appreciated this, no matter how cheesy or corny it was, because at the end of the day, it was them having fun with their family. And especially with Lynn Sr. with his cowbell.
Yeah, with the cowbell.
It was just priceless. Yeah, I love it.
Well, that's kind of a point to point out that Lynn Sr. still loves a cowbell. That's a continuation point, but well, that's a different story.
I will say this, though. Like, when it comes to selfish character episodes, this is one of the very first. And unfortunately, it's my favorite character being selfish. But thankfully, though, compared to others I've seen, like, over the five seasons, this is one of the more tamer ones.
This is one episode where I'm kind of like, Luna, I can't believe you actually can do that to, like, to your family. What if you did that to your bandmates, for example? You try to impress the person, and you do something like this. This is absolutely diva-like, diva-like behavior. You want things to be perfect, and you're gonna get so angry that you have to do something to make sure it's perfect. Yeah, absolutely out of character for Luna, because the thing is that we love her for loving music, but you never expect to see Luna just be all angry about just trying to make things, perfect. She even splits up with her family and wants to go solo. So it's like, something so out of character. Not my favorite episode, by the way, of House Music. Like, maybe average, around 7 to 8. But yeah, I absolutely was kind of shocked to see, like, Luna being all diva-like. And that just never struck my chord. But the thing is, like, it did recover at the end of the episode. Where it's like, now you realize, Luna, you did something bad. Can you go back to your family and actually be passionate about music again with everybody else? Which happened, which they had a fun time at the family fair and even got recognized by Mick Swagger. So to say the least, Luna didn't need to actually be so angry like this throughout the whole episode. But at least the ending was great. But still, it was really out of character for Luna to actually show a bad side to her.
Yeah, but like I said before, compared to most other selfish episodes, like, this is one of the better ones, thankfully. And not just because it's a Luna Loud episode, okay? I'm not being biased here. I really do mean it. This is actually one of the better ones, like, if you look at it fundamentally.
Yeah, definitely. So, like, to say the least, like, I was not okay with that. But at the same time, like, you never see her go angry like that again, thankfully.
Yeah, that's what I love about Luna is that, she never makes the same mistake twice, or at least she doesn't try to make the same mistake twice. I like how throughout each and every episode is a new challenge, a new lesson to learn, a new stepping stone for her. That's what I really like about Luna's, episodes overall. Like they don't feel formulaic, or they don't feel like, oh, you're repeating the same mistake again. No, here's what I love about Luna. Like I said, each episode is, taken in a different direction. They have their own direction in terms of how to handle Luna's character and her music career, her music pathway.
Yeah, most definitely. And the thing is that, like I said, we're never going to see a bad side to her, because I've never seen that in season two and beyond. So to say the least, this is just one thing about Luna that pretty much can be, like, ignored after that. So yeah, let's ignore House Music, that episode, and actually move on to, like, all the other episodes that Luna was featured in. And that would come up in season 2 and 3, where we actually get to see a new side of Luna. So season two, nothing extraordinary came from this season. It's just more of Luna just pretty much rocking out, just, like, playing instruments and things like that. However, one episode stood out to me and pretty much to all the fans in season two. That episode was Ella's for Love. Throughout the episode, we get to see a side of Luna we didn't see before. An anxious, unconfident rock star who didn't have the courage to ask out her crush, Sam Sharp. Now, in the end, it all worked out for this new couple, but dude, you never see Luna this so anxious and so nervous and stuff like that. So how did you feel about Luna in this episode?
Okay, now, even before the big reveal in the end, I do like how Luna displays signs of shyness and anxiety when it comes to her crush. Because with Luna, we've mostly seen her as anything but shy and anxious, given her rock star personality. She's all wild, fun-loving, and, well, loud. But here, with regards to her crush, she takes the opposite approach. And we have seen how she looks down on the floor, how she rubs her arm in an unsure way, and even down to having a soft voice that sounds like she is unsure of herself. Of course, all delivered by the amazing Nika Futterman, who is an amazing voice actress, by the way, so props to her for that. And at first, of course, we thought it would be the guy that she would have a crush on, because usually in these kinds of stories, particularly high school, it's always the girl having the crush on the guy or vice versa. But here, I love that they did something different, something unexpected, something I believe to be an even stronger direction with Luna's crush dilemma. It turns out that this Sam that Luna has been mentioning throughout this episode actually turns out to be the girl that she's been having fun with instead of the guy. This is such a proud moment for my girl, and such a proud moment for the show as a whole, because it's even more LGBT representation for a show. Like, of course, they already did a fantastic job showing LGBT representation with Clyde's dads back in season one. But this show also further enhances how much this show supports LGBT representation by showing even more characters as, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, etc., etc. So they take, like, the next step further in making one of the main characters part of the LGBT community, with Luna Loud being bisexual. And let me tell you, the last 1 minute, like, when it was Sam that was reading the letter and then Luna was smiling when she was hiding, I was like, oh my god, yes! Yes! My favorite character!
I think all of us were like expecting throughout the whole episode it was just a guy who was thinking it was going to be Sam. But, you know, in the end, when we saw Luna actually thought it was a girl, that made the whole meeting of Luna being like nervous, being all anxious, being like, I can't send this letter out. I can't give my token to this Sam chick. It made sense why she's kind of like, I don't know if I want to go through this path. I don't know how my judgment is going to be when people actually think of me with Sam. So that's what makes it like, you know, kind of feels like that LGBT representation that's actually there. It's like, I understand why people can be nervous, especially if you're representing LGBT, that, you know, it's kind of hard right now to actually show that you're going to be bisexual. But the thing is that she still had the courage to actually ask her out. And then it was a proud moment for all Luna fans out here, knowing that Luna actually did ask out a girl. And it turned out she loves Sam. And now we have a brand new couple. The thing is that the way that she feels those emotions and things like that, look, it's everybody does that too. Like, you know, I have a tough time trying to ask out my crush. Maybe I have a tough time even asking out like people that I really like, that it gives me nervous, just like what Luna's representing. So it was like, wow, you really are showing off like how courageous it is. And the thing is, like, I love how this episode shows Luna, how she's a stepping stone of what all of us are supposed to actually, you know, represent, and just say like, if you love this person, go ahead and ask him out. I know you're going to be nervous about stuff like that, but, you know, just ask him out at the end and hopefully see if they really like you at the end. And obviously this couple is now to be, and no doubt about it. I mean, like, seeing this side of Luna absolutely just represents like us to say, because yeah, we understand. We absolutely really like this. Like we actually showcase what Luna was representing here in this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this even works on a storytelling level for all the reasons you just stated. Like, even if you take away all the LGBT representation, if you take away the fact that it's a girl that Luna has a crush on, this still works a solid story. This still works as a solid character development for Luna, because it shows her more shy and anxious side of, wanting to ask someone who Luna has a crush on a date, because we've all been there as high schoolers or even middle schoolers. Because so in a way, like, this also works very fundamentally and also in terms of relatability, because this is something that all of us have gone through in some point of our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let me tell you, like, as a longtime Luna Loud fan, like, been a huge fan of Luna since season one for Bros About to Rock, and as an ally for the LGBT community, this is honestly the best of both worlds.
I must say so too. And definitely just how Luna represents here in this episode definitely showcases like how we are, you know, asking people out, you know, being courageous and things like that. I think Luna was like that one person that we need to look forward to from this episode, Ellis for Love. All right, so besides that, season two was pretty much, like I said, Luna pretty much all performing music and stuff like that. She didn't really have a big impact episode unless it's Ellis for Love. So let's head over to season three, and you can get to see that her love for music really does show that she's really passionate about music, that she really wants to make it a career. So let's actually start off with the first episode of season three, Roadie to Nowhere, where,
yes,
you know, it, yes, starts it off right in a bang. Yes. It starts it off right in a bang on the first episode because she was a headliner of this talent show at school. But that just also brought up many possibilities for Luna. Like, she wants, she, like, she loves to be a rock star, but at the same time, maybe it might not work for her, like what she's looking at Chunk. The thing is, she wants to be IT, she wants to be a dentist, she wants to be a waitress. This doesn't look like the same old Luna Lau that I was actually looking forward to from this person who loves music. So how did you like this, like, sidetrack that Luna actually got into doing other jobs besides music?
Now, I have stated before that this is my favorite episode of The Loud House. Yes, I'm dead serious. The episode we're going to be talking about right now is actually my number one favorite, like, of the entire series. And Roadie to Nowhere demonstrates very well the struggle of a rock star who chases one's dreams of having doubt of said dreams coming true. And, you know, it's one of the main reasons why it's a personal favorite of mine. So in Luna's case, she's afraid she might end up in a van like she thought Chunk has been doing, because Chunk himself has planned to go to the Rock and Roll Fame, but it never really happened for him in the end. So she fears that she might end up meeting the same fate as Chunk in the future. So what Luna does here is that she tries out other kinds of jobs related to music, like working at a karaoke bar and working at a musical record store. But then
And just a heads up, because those are music stores, that's the reason why she's, like, so passionate about music. Like, when that person actually asked Mick Swagger about a Mick Swagger CD, that she just goes on through the history of Mick Swagger. And then also at the same time, like, even if a person was singing karaoke, she's even singing karaoke. She's just pretty much bopping to the music. So she still loves music.
Yeah, but unfortunately, those don't quite go so well. So what Luna does after that is that, after getting advice about from Lisa about finding jobs that are actually marketable, that are very, very marketable, like jobs that are easy to find, she tries out other jobs like Lynn's Table, observing Rita cleaning flips, less than perfect teeth. And finally, she also witnesses Mr. Grouse doing IT. And in the case of the third job that I mentioned, she does a fantastic job with coding. And the reason why she's such a codemeister is because of the amount of coding experience that she had when working on her songs, when working on her music. So she gets the idea of switching from music to coding. And she tells Mrs. V that because she doesn't think that she'll get into music, she wants to get into coding instead. However, before she comes to that final decision, she comes across a poster that advertises Chunk and his band playing at a bar. And you can see how much fun Chunk has performing the band. And she comes to learn a lesson from her roadie Chunk himself. Is that even if you're, no matter how big or small you are, no matter whether you're, you know, playing at sold out stadiums or playing at just a small little local bar, no matter what, as long as you're playing and you're having fun with it, that's what matters at the end. And so I feel that this episode, why it stands out to me as the best, is not just because it's a Luna episode, again, not being biased, but because it's such a relatable story that, you know, all of us who aspire to be artists of some kind, like, you know, this is something that, you know, we have gone through. We're still going through to this day, how musicians, you know, artists, actors, well, speaking as an aspiring actor myself, like I want, you know, something I love to do. And pretty much all kinds of artists of any kind, like we have gone through at some point or still going through to this day, like I said, where we chase our dreams, but then it turns out that like those dreams might not come true. Because let's be real here, like in real life, like it's a rare chance that that actually does happen, no matter how hard you work in your passion. So I can understand Luna's dilemma here. And I feel that like this episode, honestly, like it's the most real that The Loud House has been, or at least one of the most real that it's ever been, because this is such a realistic dilemma that Luna Loud, who is my favorite character, has gone through. Like it's a dilemma. It's a realistic dilemma that we go through. But I like how the lesson does teach us that you can live your life full of doubt, or you could do what you love and it'll all work out, as the song clearly states. So at the end of the day, whether you pursue something that you love, like whether it be a career or hobby or something of some kind, you know, just have fun with it. You don't have to quit altogether, because Mrs. V put it best, music can also be a hobby. And honestly, yeah, I feel that all these pieces and more are why, you know, this episode is my favorite one.
I gotta say though, like throughout this episode, you can just totally see the passion of Luna just continuing to be a rock star, continuing to be like a huge, person that loves music. And it absolutely shows in this episode. My thing is that when she tried to take on different jobs, it makes sense why, you know, you have that in the back of your mind. It's like, am I really going to be a rock star? You have those doubts. And the thing is, like, the thing that really points out for Luna is that, yeah, you know, music could be a career, but the thing is, like, there could be some setbacks. There are flaws in characters, which you saw from Luna being mad at season one. And then you get to see Luna, FYI, just continue to rock out. Continue to do some jobs, side jobs, to say the least. And I have to say that I understand Luna's little point there. But the thing is that she still loves music, and it shows, especially with the fact that all of the jobs that she wanted to do got into music, like the coding job, for example. She loves music. She loves to code. So she might even be in IT. The thing is, IT is not for her. It's going to be obviously music. And you can totally see that from when she was working out in the record store, when she was working out in the karaoke bar. It just feels that music is going to be for her. And it shows in this episode where like she continues to rock out. She even goes to Chunk's band performance, and she even like had a good performance there. So to say the least, she really does show that music is going to be all about her. And from this episode on, I must say, she's moving up in the ladder of like trying to make it a career for her.
I agree, man. I agree. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on, FYI, to the other parts of season three. There was one episode that really kind of struck out to all of us. I'm pretty sure all of us, by the way. Really loud music. That was obviously a really amazing episode, considering that it was Luna trying to get her path into stardom. She's still trying to dedicate her life. I mean, this would have actually worked out for her because she was a finalist for this music competition. However, she made a decision to forfeit because of people trying to change her image, which makes sense why she would actually quit. Omid, what did you think about this from Luna?
Okay, so now we're going to jump up to my next favorite episode of The Loud House of all time, Really Loud Music. Now, whereas the previous episode that we touched upon shows a severe doubt of your dreams coming true, this episode touches upon, like, what if your dreams really did come true, but then there was still a massive price to pay? And the price to pay, the price that Luna paid in this episode was her identity. Because it turns out that after she won her music contest, Doug and Michelle, who of course wrote the lyrics, by the way, you know, props to them. Doug and Michelle, the producers, turns out that they're not really fond of the original way that Luna does her music. So what they do is that they change her from Luna to a pink pop star, Lulu. So it turns out that it was pretty much, how should I put it? corporate interference that was the real antagonist against Luna in this. And this episode turned, what this episode shows is that it doesn't matter like how famous you are or how much stardom you have, like, you know, if it's at the cost of your own identity, like if you're not going to be yourself when you're famous, then honestly, you're not really happy. So honestly, what's the point? And I like how Luna goes through this dilemma. Like pretty much it's this dilemma of, you know, is it worth it for fame? And it's especially handled very well in the song What Have I Done? When she really regrets, you know, transforming into Lulu just for the sake of, you know, being famous and stardom and all that. It's a be careful what you wish for story, and it's done very well. And especially at the end where, like, she takes a huge punish towards Doug and Michelle, where she plays the replies of Play Aloud was just, mwah, just, you know, just pure amazing rockiness.
This is just more of like, oh, Luna would have a chance to actually become, you know, an amazing superstar, to say the least. The thing is that it was absolutely hard to hear, to see this from, what was it? Sorry, I've got to put this up here. It was just really hard to actually see from Luna Loud how the corporation was going to actually change her image. But I love the little standpoint that Luna actually brought out in this episode. Like, yeah, she's going to be a musician. It looks like that's going to be her career. She's going to be the next hit maker. She was going to be the next person that's going to be like the next American Idol for all the country. But the thing is that with the popularity comes the cost of it, which means changing your image, not even playing your guitar, changing your name to Lulu, for example. It was absolutely harsh for Luna, but the thing is, like, there were things where it's like Luna could have had it, but I felt proud for Luna in this case, because it's just like, dude, I'm not gonna change my image. I am Luna Loud. And she took off the garb and then pretty much rocked out in America's Next Hitmaker. Thing is that she never won, but she's still being Luna Loud, and that shows at the end of the episode. So to say the least, I'm proud for Luna in this episode, just because this is her, you know, standing up to the corporation saying like, hey, I hate you changing my image. I want to be Luna Loud. And throughout, and even if she had her chance to start him here, she's still going to be Luna Loud, and it stands right now. So even it might be a little bit hard for her to actually hit her road for stardom soon, I would imagine it coming up real soon, considering that she's actually that like close to actually becoming a star. I would imagine like somebody actually coming with a contract with her soon. FYI, it actually did happen.
Yes. And we're going to touch upon that later on too. But needless to say, at the least, let us remember, she will always be Luna. She is not Lulu. She is Luna.
Oh yeah, most definitely. That is her. That is Luna Loud for you. All right, so besides the fact about music, we ought to go back to our couple, by the way, Luna and Sam. We never forget about these guys, because after asking her out, they actually went to a first date. You saw that in the episode Racing Hearts. So after their first date, they had some challenges because, you know, they were struggling. They don't even have anything equal. But you know what, though? They settled up. They would actually settle their differences to make it work. So how did you like this episode? How did you like this ending for this couple?
All right, now this is where we're going to take a break from talking about her music career and go straight into talking about her love life, all right? So get ready, Saluna fans, because let me tell you, you're going to be feeling a whole lot of love for a lot of Saluna that I'll be talking about right now. Now, the episode that we are talking about is, of course, Racing Hearts. In Racing Hearts, there is an astonishing quest contest in which there are teams of two, and wouldn't you know it, Luna and Sam were partners.
No, I love the fact that they continued from Ellis for Love and actually made them a couple, unlike, you know, Lenny and her other significant other.
Yes. And so anyway, they do all kinds of activities together. And throughout each challenge, they come to realize that they are much more different than they initially thought. Luna is into lasers and dancing, while Sam is not. Sam is into chicken farms and wildly organic juices, while Luna is not. And this causes Luna to have to have doubt about their relationship, because if they're not going to have anything in common at all, then what's the point in trying to make it work? And after the boning scene, Luna expresses this to Sam, and then Sam comes to the conclusion too. And oh my God, just that scene when they decide to finish the contest as friends. Oh my God, it is one of the most, you know, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking scenes I've ever experienced, because it's like, oh my God, is Luna and Sam not gonna be a couple anymore? Come on, I don't want that to happen. They're perfect together. Damn
it, it was a one and done deal. I mean,
but then the baking challenge comes, and it turns out they're both not into it, so they have a fun time doing horribly at it, and it's just fun to see them blush, fun to see them giggle, fun to see them play around with all these baking ingredients. It's just fun to see these two girls laugh and have fun together again. And so the lesson, and so there comes this important lesson, especially for couples, in which, you know, all couples, like, each couple has, you know, differences, has different interests. However, as long as you're willing to embrace your differences, of course, there's a chance that you'll definitely work as a couple, as long as you love each other, as long as you love each other's differences, as long as you embrace each other's differences, then honestly, you're still going to get through. Your love is still going to be strong as a couple, no matter what.
I have to say this though, like, you know what, for a first date, usually when you see the first date like that, it feels like Luna and Sam may not even make it out of this because they still have so many differences and things like that. But the thing is that these two are still passionate for each other, that even through that love letter that Luna gave to Sam, they still love each other. And it's like, wow, this is absolutely amazing just to see those two actually still become a couple. And the other thing too, of course, LGBT representation. And the other thing too, you know, we've already saw that with Clyde's dads, why not have it to a high schooler's life? Because, you know, obviously they want to represent it here, and it was great. The thing is that I'm just treating them like, you know, a regular old couple, and it absolutely is cute with these two. And I'm so happy that this actually still continues. So to say the least, these two actually were meant for each other to say the least. They love rock and roll. They really do have these things in common. They really don't have a lot of things in common, but the other thing too is that they're trying to work it out. And, you know, couples kind of do that too. So it kind of like makes a good lesson to say that, you know, even with these differences, you can try to make it work between the two of you. And, you know, throughout this next couple episodes that we're going to be discussing, you don't see a lot of Luna and Sam moments, but to say the least, they're still together in, you know, a couple of these episodes.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, I love that this episode, what I love about Luna episodes in general is that the lessons and morals that they teach in Luna-centric episodes, I feel that they're most realistic, in my opinion.
Okay.
This is one of them.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, so let's move over to season four as we continue on this little train of like how Luna episodes have been. And let's actually talk about, you know, we talked about this a lot. Season one, she was passionate about music. Season three, she looks like she's more passionate about music. I think right now in season four is when she started to get pretty realistic and say like, hey, I really love music. And it would be really shown in deep cuts. Because in that episode, they would take on the first task of not canceling the music club. And FYI, they now have a band, by the way. It feels like Luna's now in a band called the Moon Goats in this episode. From here, you get to see more passionate Luna, pretty much into music, by making sure that this music club continues to go on. So to say the least, she really represents it well and say like, hey, I love music. Let's not cancel this club. I don't want this to happen. How did you like this part of her seeing in this episode?
This is one of those episodes in which, like, it shows Luna at her most passion for music. Because the thing with this episode is that, like, she's not doing it for her own love of music, but rather she's doing it for her friends' love of music. In a way, like, it's a small club's love of music that she wants to save. And that's what I love about her, is that in this episode, it's where, like, she looks out for not only, like, her love of music, but the love of music of her friends, her bandmates as well. And it's gotten up to a point where she forms her own army of aspiring musicians and rock stars to pretty much go against the other clubs as well, like go against Luan's Theater Club and Lori's Sports Club. And it forms into a three-way war between the three clubs and the three Loud Sisters. So I do love how, like, she is willing to do whatever it takes to save the music club for her sake and for her friend's sake as well. Now, in terms of where I stand, like I said, you know, I definitely would be Team Luna. Like, on the one hand, Team Luna. But on the other hand, I love theater. You know, I've done a lot of theater
so
in my life.
Besides, so, you got to pick which one you're going to be on. So if you're a student and Luna was high, who would you go for, Luna or Sam? Or Luna or Luann?
I can't. I love Luna. She's my favorite character. But then on the other hand, like, theater is my passion also. So, you know, win-win is the way I win.
You're at an impasse, sir.
In the middle. I've gone in the middle.
You've gone in the middle between those two.
The two things I love.
No, what I love about this episode is that the passion of Luna continues to grow. Like, you know, like I've said before, season three, she starts to get all passionate about music where she just continues to rock and roll in a concert. It continues to grow again where she, you know, has a club where she has a band and she loves to rock and roll with them. And the thing is, it's about to get canceled. So obviously she's doing all kinds of things, like doing petitions, rocking out in front of Principal Rivers, and pretty much start a revolt saying like, hey, we're not canceling this club. We're going to do something about it. Like this picture, it pretty much shows. So to say the least, like, look, Luna is absolutely into music. And like I said, it absolutely shows. It totally tells me that the career, that the thing, that pathway forward for Luna is pretty much music, and it's showing right now. It's like, I can't let this happen. I need to happen.
Exactly, because when you do think about it, like a school club, like a music club, really does enhance your skills, like when you're in high school. So of course she wants to save it.
But I think too is like, yeah, it's just the fact that like, hey, I want to be more represented. I want to make sure like my music career can like last long here in Royal Woods High School before I actually head to college and maybe go into a band in college. Who knows? But to say the least, this episode for Luna Loud, I would say really does impact her a whole lot, knowing that her passion for music still continues on and continues to be great from this point forward. Now here's the other thing. Of course, we never forget Luna's relationship with Sam, by the way. It feels like in every episode moving forward from each season, it feels like Luna and Sam are going to continue on to becoming a bigger, bigger OPTP and having music become a thing for Luna. So in season four, more episodes of Luna and Sam are coming out, and it just feels like they are going to be the OTP, I must say. So, You maybe saw the episode. You saw Luna and Sam pretty much cat sit for Clyde. And to say the least, they really actually worked it out together. Omid, I'm pretty sure you're going to say yes to this. To say the least, do you think these two are absolutely clicking together?
Yes! Yes! 100% yes, baby. 100% yes. This is beautiful. I feel this is another step forward in the relationship because it shows Luna calling and counting on Sam for help with taking care of Clyde's cats. And also when Sam played a huge part in Luna's scheme, brilliant, satisfying scheme, tricking Lincoln, Lenny, and Luann into thinking she was going bad according to her diary. Oh my God, it was so satisfying, by the way. I just loved it. Because from what I've seen in the past from Racing Hearts and Sam's own podcast episode with Lana, she is great with animals. I mean, she is very passionate about them. I would even argue that, honestly, she has a bright future as a veterinarian. Like, she's really that great with animals. So you see Luna and Sam having lots of fun together, taking care of the cats, and even putting on cat filters.
That was really cute.
I thought they were a perfect match. Oh, and also the lullaby song, the cat lullaby song.
That lullaby song is pretty much making everybody go to sleep. I mean, you get to see.
Warms my heart.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Warms my heart. Like, honestly, Like, I would just love to put that song every time I go to sleep. It's just
oh wow.
Yes.
Oh man.
And also, of course, at the end, when Luna tells the McBrides the truth, they thank her for being honest with Luna. And also, not only that, but they give her money so she can go get McSwagger tickets. And, oh, my God, this is a beautiful moment. One of the most beautiful moments in Nana's history. When Sam gives her, like, the share of money so that she can get the VIP tickets, here it comes. It's Luna and Sam. Luna doing to Sam's cheek. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Oh, my God.
It's... Yes, yes, I've been waiting for a kissing scene. Oh my God, like any sort type of kissing scene. Oh my God, I was just head over heels for it. I was so excited. I was like, oh, Luna kissed Sam. It finally happened. It's an honest step forward.
I know it's not a flip to lip kiss, but to say the least, a kiss actually does make it like a true.
It's a lip on the cheek. Lip on the cheek, but still, I'll take that kiss too anytime. Yeah. Like, so, and then, like, at the end, especially, the end is pretty much shows one of the best closing shots I've ever seen in the Loud House episode. One of my top five closing shots in the Loud House episode, where you see Luna and Sam sleeping together, their heads tilting, like touching each other. And then you got like Luna dreaming about McSwagger sleeping. And then you got the McBride sleeping as well. But then especially the best part is, of course, Sam and Luna touching heads, tilting heads, sleeping
okay,
on each
okay.
other.
Okay, okay. We get it. It's a cute moment. I believe Omid, it pretty much answers the question, Sam and Luna OTP. Yes, I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm in heaven. Yeah. We want more of that, please.
Omid is passionate about Sam and Luna, by the way. But and FYI, I think after this episode, it just tells me that Sam and Luna are going to be a couple. And, you know, you don't see it as much as Bobby and Lori, for example, but it just shows every time you see Sam and Luna together, it just feels like they're going to be a huge... like OTP, they're bound to be together. So anytime someone struggles, like maybe we'll have a Sam episode where Sam is struggling on, you know, taking care of her brother, for example, Luna will come in because she actually takes care of Lincoln. So there could be a little opposite, like perfect gig where Sam needs Luna's help. There could be an episode just like that, and it's going to have the same reaction like what we saw here. So to say the least, this is absolutely, I think, confirmation that this is an OTP, and it absolutely is a cute OTP having these two together as rock stars working together as a bandmates and things like that. So, oof, yes. I love these
best
two.
Best OTP. Like, yeah, some.
We can't say best OTP. We have Ronnie Kid. We have, Bobby and Lori.
Here's the thing. Everyone has their own best OTP, technically. Like, some have Ronnikin, some have Stelican in your case.
Hey, my case, I want Stelican.
Some have...
I don't know if that'll happen, passionate for it.
Some have Lori and Bobby, but the guys, to me, this is my OTP, my number one OTP of the show. Sal Luna is best OTP. End of story.
Okay, well, that was pretty much it. The other thing, too, is that we don't have another Sam and Luna episode, but I'm pretty sure if there's another Sam and Luna episode in season 5, we're going to abrupt like what Omid did right now. But here's the other thing about season 5, though, because we're currently at season 5, and it feels like this Moon Goats band that Luna's in is pretty much her future, because it looks like it's going on that right direction. We get to see, Sully and Mazzy pretty much be the bandmates of Sam and Luna. They're going to become the Moon Goats. They pretty much have gigs set up. They pretty much have performances ready for them. And that isn't until a chance for her to actually go solo and actually lead a band herself. But the other thing, too, about this about that moment there, the band actually was favoring Luna to actually pursue her career of going solo. And I'm like, ooh, interesting. So from that episode, do you think this was a perfect chance for Luna to actually have a music career?
Now, the episode we're going to be talking about here is, of course, one of my absolute favorite season 5 episodes, Band Together. Now, this episode shares a very similar trait with Really Loud Music, in that this episode also shows what happens when your dreams do become a reality, when your dreams do come true. But... however, just like with that episode, this episode shows how having your dreams come true comes at a big price. The only difference is that with Really Loud Music, the price that Luna had to pay was her identity. With this episode, the price that she had to pay was her friends, her real bandmates, in a sense. Now, band manager Katie Criss only brings on board Luna to play in her own famous band and in stadiums too and all that stuff, which is everything Luna had dreamed of, except it turns out to not be the case with this particular case. Now, we know how much of a tight relationship that Luna has with her bandmates, with Mazzy and Sully, and especially Sam. Oh my god, that cheek squish!
Oh my god.
Everything to me. That cheek squish! Yes!
Oh my god. We just had a cheek squish already, a perfect gig.
I will cherish that image forever in my head. So it turns out that things don't go so well when Luna agrees to the deal. Not only does it strain her relationship with her bandmates, her real friends, what happens is that it also gives her a really hard time because her new bandmates, like, they're completely different from her old ones and that they're not friendly at all. They take their music way too seriously, and they don't even show any kind of warmth towards Luna. Like, they're not very welcoming of her at all. So after things don't go so well with Luna and her new bandmates, and then Luna decides, okay, this isn't my new bandmates. Being together in stadium is not worth it. I'm gonna go back to my old team bandmates. She tries to make it up to Sam, Mazzy, and Sully by saying that she was wrong to leave them. However, rather than just forgiving Luna right away and having her join the band immediately, it turns out that unfortunately she's been replaced by Chunk. And so while she doesn't make it to the band initially, she wants to make up to them regardless by being their roadie, because what matters is that they're together no matter what. What happens is that Luna comes up with the idea to set up Chunk with Katie's band because Chunk has been dreaming longer than Luna has to pretty much play in stadiums and all that. And so it's sort of a win-win situation for both Luna and Chunk. Chunk gets to play in a band, like in a sold out stadium, which is his ultimate dream. And Luna goes back to playing with her old bandmates and having a good time again, like being a moon goat again. So I like how this episode teaches a lesson that pretty much no matter how famous or how where you play, whether it be sold out stadiums or all that, what matters is the chemistry between you and your bandmates. That's the thing. If you don't have any real chemistry at all, despite the high stardom, it won't mean much. You'll be empty. So honestly, it's better to go with the teammates that you consider your friends rather than going with the teammates, with the bandmates that only give you clout and nothing else.
Yeah. So I was actually pretty shocked about this episode because I was thinking, like, I think Luna and the Moon Goats are going to be the next best thing. The thing is that when they wanted to showcase it to a manager, like a music producer, they wanted Luna only. So the thing is that I was like, are you sure you want to break up the band like that? Well, not break up the band, but more like take Luna away. And apparently the band really agreed with that. So it's kind of like, Luna, you had your chance of actually, becoming a rock star with a different band, but at the same time, it's not the same band that, the Moon Goats gave you. Pretty much not those pranks. You don't have those pranks. You don't have those fun times with that band, which makes sense why Luna needed to go back, because it's like, you know what? Even if I have to, not become a star anymore, I'll still be a part of the Moon Goats. You know what? We're going to start from scratch. We're pretty much doing the same thing all over again, where you'll have a chance of actually going to stardom, like Really Loud Music. But you got to start from like the bottom up again, which Luna and the Moon Goats are doing. I mean, either way, like, they're still very popular, even if Luna decided to actually not be a part of that band. So Luna and the Moon Goats, they're still playing in that coffee bar. And so far, that's how it is right now. It seems that Luna is currently looking to be a part of the Moon Goats, the lead singer of the Moon Goats, the pretty much the leader of the Moon Goats. And it's looking like it's that's how it is going to be right now. I mean, like, at the end of the episode, yeah, we get to see Chunk pretty much leave. And FYI, I'm pretty sure Chunk's gone. So goodbye to Chunk. Yeah, goodbye to Chunk. Because maybe Luna might see him again in, like, a concert somewhere. But Chunk is pretty much, like, gone. Hiroti is gone. But you know what? She has a band right now. So I believe that she'll be okay. They'll get by another Hiroti somewhere. But I think Luna is going to be pretty much relying on the Moon Goats to become that popular band that may be striving with her coming up, like, in season 5 and beyond.
Yeah, on a side note, I really hope that this isn't the last that we see of Chunk, because I really love the big old bloat, the big old English guy. Like, honestly, out of all the characters that John DiMaggio has voiced in The Loud House, honestly, Chunk is my favorite one of them all. mainly because of how he shares this big brother, like, relationship with Luna, and about how he has helped with Luna's music career, you know, not just being a roadie, but also giving her important lessons to learn when it comes to being a musician, like in Roadie to Nowhere. I really love how he also helps Luna here by giving Luna the position of being a Moon Goat again, while pursuing his own dream of, like, you know, being a famous musician himself. Like, I just wish that his role here, like, his role hasn't been that big ever since Roadie to Nowhere. Like, I was hoping, like, we get more of Luna and Chunk's relationship in the series. Like, have more of that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, Chunk is just a secondary character. The only thing that Chunk is relatable to is Luna. And if you pretty much bring Chunk away from Luna, it pretty much shows that, you know, we don't really need you anymore. I know Chunk is a pretty nice guy, but he's just been that secondary character that's only supporting Luna, not everybody else. So, you know, it kind of is sad to see Chunk go away, but, I mean, Luna's pretty much by herself now, and she has bandmates with her. So, to say the least, I think she's going to be okay.
I'm pretty confident, too, especially since this is a team effort. You know, they do work well as a team and as a band. So honestly, as long as they work hard, as long as they cooperate well, like, honestly, as long as they put as much practice into what they love, I have a feeling they're going to be, like, a very successful band in the future.
Oh yeah, for sure. All right. So that pretty much is where we're at right now in season 5. Well, we have no other Luna episodes to talk about. There's no projection of another Luna episode coming up. So now it's time for us to actually talk about what we think Luna Loud's future is going to be. Obid, we'll start off with you. From season 5, from here on forward, from season 5 and beyond, how do you think Luna Loud's future is going to look like?
Okay, honestly, yes, this is something I've been thinking about for a while, and I'm going to say right now, her future is bright. Bright as the sun, baby. Because I have a feeling it's this. Luna's going to stay with the Moon Goats for a long time. They're still going to be a band for many, many years. And, like, the more that they practice, the more shows that they play, the more successful they become. Like, they're going to be the next Queen, the next Beatles, the next The Who. Like, they're going to be that successful in their adult years, of course. And then, of course, in terms of Luna and Sam, let me tell you, big things are going to happen to them. Like, their love is going to be as strong as ever.
Of course they're it gonna is.
Saluna wedding. We want a Saluna wedding. Let's go. Let's make it happen. Saluna wedding. I now pronounce you Luna and Sam. Let's go, baby. And then after that, Luna and Sam are going to move together to England when they're adults. They're still going to be
thinking about an England wedding. So I would imagine the band is pretty much moving to England.
Yes. Yes. An entire English wedding.
So it's kind of like the path of Queen to say. Is that what we're trying to figure out here?
Yes, Luna Loud is going to be the female Freddie Mercury. She's going to be that.
Ah, awesome. I just hope he doesn't get. I just hope he doesn't get it to like a single career or something like that that Freddie Mercury did.
And no, once again, let me reiterate: this is not me being biased at all. Okay, like I said, from what I've seen, from so much that I've seen from Luna, from the different lessons that she learns throughout these episodes, to the way that she blossoms her relationship with Sam and her bandmates, and just to her origin story, and just to how much hard work that she puts into her music, her songs, and everything. Let me tell you, her future is bright. She's going to be the next Freddie Mercury. Her band's going to be successful as ever. Let me tell you, her music legacy is going to live on for years, baby. Let's go.
That's pretty much what Tobin says. But my thing right now is that I get it. It's going to be with the Moon Goats. And I believe the Moon Goats are going to strive hard. Like, they're going to have these high school concerts. I would imagine, like, at their graduation, the Moon Goats are going to perform. I feel like that's going to be a thing. And I would imagine there is when they start to get, like, all the recognition and stuff like that. Like, Luna doesn't need to go to college. She can just go straight to... you go straight to a band thing, like, you know, get a gig and get some money off that, and pretty much, like, you know, get herself striving right now. That's the reason why she's in high school right now, just, you know, being in a music club performing music and things like that. And you know, she can perform everything, like a harp, like a drum, the list goes on. So to say the least, she's pretty much her future is pretty much all about music, and the Moon Goats is pretty much gonna bring her up all the way to pretty much music stardom. I have to say this though, like, when she gets into her adult years, if we're ever going to have like a spinoff or anything like that, I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. But Luna Loud is pretty much going to be the lead singer of a very popular band, like what Omid said, like not like Beatles, like more like Queen. Like, it's going to have some amazing hit songs. They're going to become popular. They're going to go to world tours. It just feels like that's going to be up for her. It all begins from the first episode of The Loud House, where she's just so passionate about music. It just tells you that, you know, from the music, from her music standpoint, from season one and the first episode, it makes sense for her to actually go from music stardom all the way up to the top.
Yes, obviously, yes. I'm saying right now, Moon Goats is going to get a platinum album, baby. I can see it now. Moon Goats, platinum album, let's go.
You know what? They're going to do like a thing where they're going to, like, you know, do a montage of what happens next for Luna. Is like, maybe in the series finale of The Loud House, it'd probably be like Luna's pretty much leaving The Loud House and pretty much she's off to like music stardom. She's not gonna be with a big swagger like what happened to Butterfly Fleck, but at least she's going to be with her, with Sam, with Mazzy, and Sully, and they're going to be pretty much the Moon Goats, pretty much thriving through like all kinds of concerts that are going to be going on for her. And, you know, she's going to live a successful life, and it's going to be all about music. And that's her dream, and she's pretty much fulfilling her dream. That's my thing for what I'm thinking about for Luna. Now, obviously, we want to talk about Luna and Sam. They're going to be a couple. They're going to already pretty much officially put them as an OTP. They're pretty much one true pairing, and they're going to get married. Omid is pretty much put it out there. I will also say that they're going to get married. They're going to have, like, a great life. No matter where they're going to live, maybe they might live in Japan and actually have a good life there. I don't know. I
would imagine them taking it. I would consider Japan their honeymoon, but then after their honeymoon, like, England is their homeland, their hometown. Well, again, like,
most of the popular bands are from England, which makes sense for them to actually, you know, get married.
She's into British rock too.
Look. I would see, like, you know, Luna and Sam pretty much like live in the States until they get married, and then eventually they probably like live out wherever their tour goes. So they probably will be touring a lot more in England, which makes sense for them to move to England. But it all depends on like how Luna and Sam are. But it all depends on how the band is going to roll. And obviously, Luna and Sam are in the band together. So I mean, I would imagine like things are going to be all great for them. So. Yeah, I would say, like, we pretty much established it from the very beginning of this episode that Luna is going to be all about music. And it already from the first season all the way up, it just tells you that Luna is all about music, that she's totally all about the songs, all about being in a band. Because you all think that she was going to go solo because of, like, you know, being in that amazing Hitmaker song. But now that she has a supporting cast with Sully, Mazzy, and Sam, it just feels like now the band is pretty much lifting her and the rest of the band all to stardom, and I believe, like, in the future, Luna's about to be a rock star. And that's her dream, and that's she's fulfilling it. And that's my thoughts. I believe Luna's going to have a great career. It's looking bright for her, like you said, Amit.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And even during her adult years, there are some trials and tribulations and new lessons to learn, like, as, you know, a rock star and as a member of the Moon Ghost. So, honestly, I feel that, you know, she's going to learn more lessons. She's going to go through more trials and tribulations. But at the end of the day, like, those are actually going to help her grow even more as a person and as a rock star. So, yeah, I'm definitely, like, if there's a Luna Loud spinoff by any chance, honestly, sign me up for that. Where's the petition? Let's go. Sign me up.
No doubt you want that. You want to see that happen. But, of course, you know, the Loud House is still currently in their high school years, so they're probably going to be another season or two before Luna actually graduates. We'll see. But I feel like
the guy could dream. A guy could dream, man.
I believe they're going to go far. All right, that's pretty much it for our episode of the Loud Casa Talks. Thank you very much for all who have been watching our stream. Remember that you can listen to our Loud Casa Talks wherever you can, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like the stream on YouTube, please subscribe and hit the bell button so you can get notified of whenever we get wherever we stream next. Anyways, that's pretty much it for our Loud Casa Talks episode. Thank you very much for listening and checking out the stream. My name is Nate.
And this is Omid saying thank you all so much for watching this. Thank you all so much for listening. And let me tell you, this is one of the most fun I've ever had, especially when talking about my favorite character. Like, it was such a blast to, you know, talk about and fangasm over. And let me just say thank you all so much for your support, and smell you later, dudes.